I was thinking about different skills and things that we have at some point in our life, certain abilities that we have and then we lose. You know, if you don't use your muscles, they will atrophy. If you don't use them, you lose them. I found this out through my own experimentation with my numerous children. They are very bendy. You can bend them into pretzels. They're very flexible. But at some point, they lose that flexibility. And I think, from what I hear, it's because you don't continue to stretch out the way that babies do. And if you don't continue to try to stretch out, like in these yoga classes or whatever, you lose that ability to be flexible. You can also lose skills through not practicing. I haven't played basketball in a while. I don't know how good I would be. I haven't fished in a while. I hope I retain some of that knowledge so that I could put it into practice and hopefully remember the skill. I know if you ever learn like steps to a dance, if you don't practice that dance, you might forget. Might even forget how to do jazz hands. It's easy for us to forget something that we don't practice. If you don't use it, you lose it. There was an article in 2006 in the Journal of the American Medical Association. It released its findings on a five-year-long test. They were testing the functioning of the mind and how, as over time, does your mind lose some of its mental ability and capacity and acuity? And what they did was, at the beginning of the 5 years, they tested 3,000 of their participants. And at the end of 5 years, they tested the same 5,000 with the same battery of tests, testing memory and how fast they could get the test done. And they tested their reasoning ability. And they did these four separate groups. They divided this number into four separate groups. And each of them had an exercise that they would do frequently. Over the five-year course, they would practice their memory skills, or they would practice their reasoning skills, or they would practice how fast they could remember things or finish puzzles and things like this. But the fourth group was not given any exercises to do. They just aged over the 5 years, as most of us do if we don't do puzzles and things like this. And at the end of 5 years, what they found out is that the people that did not do these exercises were less able to complete the exercises or the testing, the assessments at the end of the year, or of the 5 years, than the ones that had continued to do these brain exercises to work out their brain. And of course, when this study came out, most of the articles reviewing this study had the title something to the extent of "Your Brain, Use It or Lose It." And it's the same for us in the body of Christ. It's the same in the kingdom. Jesus tells his disciples last week and this week we've been talking about in chapter 24 and 25 of chapter Matthew that there's going to be a final assessment. We will someday stand before our Lord and King, and He will judge us. Last weekend, we learned that we need to be prepared for Christ's return because we don't know when it's going to be. This week, we're in the parable of the talents, and we're going to learn today that God expects us to be faithful, faithful servants of His until His return. Now, you can read this story if you like. I'm not going to read the whole thing today because it's one of the longer parables. But if you remember the story, that's helpful. I'm going to kind of fill in some of the gaps maybe. There's this very wealthy man, and he decides to go on a trip. And he entrusts three of his servants with his wealth. Into the first servant's hands, he puts five talents. And the second servant, he gives two talents. And the third servant, he gives one talent. And now you might be thinking, why does he give one servant more than the next one, and that one more than the third one? Well, it tells us in verse 15, he gave 5 talents. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one, 1. Each according to his ability. They were entrusted with the master's wealth based on their individual ability at the time he gave it to them. And then the master leaves after giving out his wealth. He leaves and goes on his trip. Now the first 2 servants, they put what the master gave them to work. And they actually doubled what he handed over to them. But the third man, instead of putting that talent to work, the 1 talent man, he did not put the talent to work. He buried it in the ground. And when the master returns, he comes to these 3 men to assess what they've done with his property. And he's really happy. He's pleased with the first 2 men, the first 2 servants. And he says, this is a verse that's repeated in verse 21 and verse 23. The master says to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." That's something we want to hear from our master someday, right? Something we long to hear. But the third man came in and returned the exact same amount that the master had given him. He gave him 1 talent right back. He did not lose 1 penny. But the master calls him, in verse 26, the master calls this servant wicked and lazy. And as we continue to read through here, it becomes clear that in verse 27 that all 3 servants were given talents based on their ability in order that they might use them faithfully. They were supposed to do something with these talents. That's why the master is upset with this 1 talent man. Yeah, sure, he didn't lose anything, but he did nothing with what he was given. He says, at the very least, he says to this 1 talent man, at the very least, you could have invested my money at the bank and earned a little bit of interest. Right? It wouldn't have doubled any more than what you put in the bank these days doubles. You wouldn't have doubled it, but at least you would have gotten a little bit of interest. This 1 talent servant, like the other 2, has been blessed by his master, blessed with the entrusting of his property, this wealth. And he was entrusted to put it to work, but instead he does nothing with that blessing. He does not use it, and we find out he will lose it. Look at verse 28. The master says, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Use it or lose it takes on a whole new meaning here. This is not just a loss of physical belongings or earthly responsibilities for this man. When the master returns, this 1 talent man loses something eternal. He has eternal separation from his gracious master, the master that was willing to entrust him, that trusted him so much with such a great amount. He lost that. The master expects more from his servants. He expects them to do something with what he gives them, to be faithful with what they have been given. If that's the expectation for people in the kingdom of God, I think it's wise for us to ask ourselves a few questions, right? In this parable, what went wrong with this servant? What went wrong with this servant to ultimately be considered worthless? Verse 30. He's a worthless servant. Well, let's look at this parable and see how the servant viewed his master. Verse 24 and 25. It says, "He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. The servant says he was afraid. He was afraid of his master's reaction, but his answer makes it clear that his fear came from a lack of trust in the goodness of his master. He did not trust the master. Now, the master trusted the servant. He trusted the servant's ability enough to give him a talent. And we don't fully understand what a talent is, probably. It's not just a coin. A talent was equivalent to 20 years' wages. That's how much the master trusted this one talent man's abilities. Now, he may not have had the same ability as the five talent man, the man who was given 100 years' salary to do something with. But the master trusted this one talent man with a retirement, I'd say, a healthy retirement. But the servant did not trust the master. He did not trust the master's assessment of himself. And rather than risk failure, rather than risk what he expected to be the wrath of his master, this one talent man trusted his own understanding of his own ability. He took what the master made him responsible for and he buried it. He basically ignored his responsibilities. He hoped they would go away, maybe. He ignored his problems and tried to reason his way out of the problem when the master finally returned. But the master sees something. He sees through the reasoning of this one talent man. And in the parable, it sheds a little bit of light on something else that was wrong with this man. So we get the master's perspective of this servant. The master calls the one talent man in verse 26 wicked and lazy. The master took the one talent man's behavior, burying that talent, as unwillingness rather than inability to do the work. The servant would rather do his own will, which is bury the treasure or the talent and not worry about it. He would rather do his own will than do his master's will and be faithful with that talent. Proverbs has a lot to say about people who are lazy. One of my favorite verses we talked about on Wednesday night a little bit is Proverbs 26:14. And it says, "As the door turns on its hinges, so a sluggardly man turns on his bed." I like it for one thing because it's Sunday morning, but I like it for myself because it's a reminder for me. I love to sleep in. I need something on my ceiling that where this verse is written, because I know the feeling, I'm sure you do, of sleeping in, how good it feels and how you begin to turn in your bed because it feels so good to wrap up with the air is cold and the warm blankets. But the way it's presented here in Proverbs, you're being lazy. You're like a door turning on its hinges. You're a sluggardly man. I like it because it reminds me of what a lazy person is like, and I need that reminder. Then there's a verse that applies to our man, though, in this parable. A couple verses down in verse 16 of Proverbs 26. It says, "A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answer discreetly." The sluggard, the lazy man, this servant, is too lazy to even think about what he could do with the talent. He could have earned interest at the bank, at the very least. He could have entrusted it with somebody else who would get a little bit back on it. But he didn't even consider what to do with these blessings. He felt the talent was too great a risk and buried it. And he buried it despite what he knew the other servants were doing. The other servants were putting it to work. But he was wiser in his own eyes than these two servants. I know what I'll do. Rather than risk it, I'll bury it. And I'll have everything when the master comes back. And the master sees through this and calls him out on it. You were just being lazy. It wasn't just because you didn't trust me. It was because you didn't want to do anything. You didn't want to trust me. You didn't want to do my will. He wanted to avoid failure. To avoid this one talent man's fate, we must consider all the possibilities for our blessings that God gives us. For all of the blessings and responsibilities He gives us, how much time do we spend thinking about what we can do with what we're blessed with? We can't expect when Christ comes back to reason our way out of using those blessings faithfully. There's another verse in Proverbs 22:13 that says, "The sluggard says, 'There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square.'" These are excuses. Like the one talent man. This is his reasoning. When it's held up to the master's assessment of him, and right here, parallel to this verse, we see that what the one talent man has is a ridiculous excuse. Like the fear of a lion in the road. Like the fear of being murdered in a public square. It's just an excuse for not getting up and being faithful with what God has given you. Now, failure was not what was expected of these servants. But we don't see with the two and the five talent servants, we don't see them being rewarded because of a lack of failure. Now, they were made responsible and they were rewarded because they were faithful with what they had been given. Because they were faithful, they were good and faithful, they were rewarded and entered the Master's joy. It's not about our works. It's not our ability to bring about success in everything that we do. In God's kingdom, it's about being faithful. It's about faithfulness. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. We're to be faithful servants of God. And that brings about success. Paul is faithful in this passage. Apollos is faithful. But look who gives the increase. Look who brings success. Verse 5. "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." When we are faithful with what God gives us, we are working with God. All we have to do is do what God expects of us. He provides the successes. He provides the increase. This one talent man did not trust God. He thought he was responsible for ensuring his place in the joy of his master. He thought he was responsible for the success, and he thought he would be responsible for the failure. But what the master expected, what this man's master expected, was faithfulness. When we are faithful to God, he will provide the increase. And God rewards, like this master of verse 29. When we invest what God blesses us with back into the kingdom, we lose nothing. God blesses with all kinds of things in order to grow His kingdom. We're supposed to put it back into the kingdom. And when we do that, we don't lose, we gain. The one talent servant's actions, while the master had been gone, are irresponsible, they're lazy, and they're wicked. The master considered the man's actions to be evil. Doing nothing until the master's return is wicked. Wickedness and laziness are the opposite here in this parable of goodness and faithfulness. The now no talent servant is removed from the master's sight and cast into a place of torment. To avoid this man's fate, we We, even citizens of the kingdom, must take whatever blessings God has invested with us, entrusted us with, and use them faithfully until the Lord's return. We must lose it, use it, or lose it. Think about what you confessed before you became a Christian. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that we must confess something if we must be saved. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For the heart of one who believes is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And what did you confess? Jesus is Lord. If you're a Christian, you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Lord of what? Lord of Farmville? Lord of North America? Lord of the earth? Lord of heaven? Is he Lord of you? Isn't that what you confess? Yes, he's Lord of all. Doesn't that include you? I think we get confused in our great nation when we hear phrases like, I'm not going to say anything bad about Abraham Lincoln, but you know his speech. This is a nation of the people, for the people, and by the people. We get confused by that, and we forget that we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We are citizens of a kingdom of God, a kingdom of the King, for the King, and by the King. Our every decision should be directed by the Lord of our life. Who's the one sitting on the throne of your life? Whoever it is, it's your Lord. Who drives your decision making? Is it you? Is it you sitting on the throne? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a Christian, it's Jesus Christ who has all authority. And in Jesus, we can have confidence that what he entrusts us with, we have the ability to be faithful. And he will bring about the increase if we are faithful. We're giving all kinds of blessings. But one of the blessings we're given in the kingdom of God is the lordship of Christ. What a comforting thing to know that somebody is in control of our lives who controls everything. Do you allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Or are you like this one talent man who says, no, I'm going to be Lord of my life. And I think I know what's right to do with what Jesus has entrusted with me. I'm going to make sure that I get into heaven, and I'm going to make the best decisions that I know how to make, no matter what I read in Scripture. Because if you bury your treasure, if you bury what blessings and talents God gives you, it's basically what you're saying. We're here, we're Christians, we have a purpose, right? Didn't we say that? We have a purpose to seek and save the lost. Are we being faithful to that purpose? Are we doing what God has put us here to do? God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. I'm going to read 3 through 10 because I think it fits well. Or 4 through 10. Ephesians 1, 4 through 10. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you see the plan? Before the foundation of the world, he chose us in him. We should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. We're not just servants of our Lord and Master. We're children of a loving Father. And He's allowing us to be part of His work. I don't know if you have kids or you've been around little kids very long, but if they see you working and they think they can help out, they're going to. They're going to do their best. If I'm out raking the lawn, you know, after we mow it, and I've got to rake up all the dead grass so it doesn't kill the rest of it, I get out there with my rake and I'm raking along, and out comes Strider and Journey and Brighton and Elias, and they all want to help out, and they grab a handful of grass and they put it in a wheelbarrow, and as they're doing it, they're spreading the dead grass all over the place that I've just raked up. Am I angry with them, do you think? Do you get angry because your children are wanting to help you in your labors? God is working. He's had a plan since before creation. And He's given us the opportunity to help Him. And He's given us the ability and He's given us the blessings in order to do that. We don't need to look at our Master with fear. That's not the way that this one talent man should have been looking at his Master. Except that he wasn't willing to do it. I guess if you're not willing to be faithful to God, maybe you should be afraid. Because He will return and He will expect that you have been faithful with what He's given you. What will you do? Jesus warns us, we either use it or lose it. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We'll all stand there. Will He say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Master"? That's what we look forward to, right? And we know from Luke 17:10, our only answer can be, "We are but unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." Or will He say to you, like He will say to many, "You wicked and lazy servant"? Will you lose that lordship over your life? Will you lose the Lord? See, that's one of the blessings we're given, that lordship. And if we don't take advantage of that lordship and submit ourselves to that lordship, we will lose that as well. Are we faithful with God's blessings or are we lazy? If you're a Christian today and you're not sure what you should be doing, I know I would be happy to talk with you. Find a Christian more mature than you. Find out what you can be doing to live faithfully with the blessings that God has given you. One thing each of us should know is that we are to be sharing the gospel with others. That's God's purpose for His church. We're part of His plan from before the beginning of time to unite all things in Christ. Are you working to unite sinners to Christ? We're part of that. God wants all to be saved. That's His will. And He sent His Son so that it could be done. And He gave us Scripture so that we know how to do it. But what stands between the people you know and the people God loves so much that haven't heard the Word? I hope it's not you. Be faithful servants of Christ. If you've not yet made Christ the Lord of your life, I pray that you will. I pray that you will believe that He is the Son of God and that He raised up Jesus from the dead. I pray that you will be willing to submit to His lordship in your life, laying down all of your sins. See, if you already confessed that to make Him Lord of your life, that part should come easier. He's in charge. Just do what He says. Lay down your man of sin and submit to baptism. Do you know where Jesus, after He was dead and put in a tomb, do you know where He was when He came back to life? He was in the tomb. He was buried. Do you know where we go from death to life? That's where we're buried, in the waters of baptism, according to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. And now you can be raised new, entrusted by God with every heavenly blessing to carry out His will on earth as a new creature. Won't you come this morning? Won't you invest the seeds of faith that have been shared with you, that have been planted in your life? Or are you going to bury them? Use it or lose it. I pray that you use it. If you have a need this morning,